me, and I'm so glad to know today that there's somebody in the house that's praying for me. That's why I'm here preaching to you. Somebody that's praying for me. That's why I'm here standing before you to let you know that God will deliver. He'll deliver. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, he says that whether it be when we afflicted, it's for our consolation. He said, which is effectual in the enduring. See, when we go through, it helps us that when we go through stuff, that God consoles us, and we went through last time, it helps us to be patient enough to go through the next time. Because we know that if nobody else don't do it, God can. Oh, y'all not with me this morning. He says that the enduring of the same sufferings in which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. We get comforted through our tribulation. It is for us to be encouraged, first of all, and for us to be set free from whatever binds us. Amen. I don't know about you, but there are some things sometimes that binds us. Sometimes I get bound with some stuff and my mind is on that stuff and I can't even think about the goodness of Jesus because this stuff is in my way. And so I got to go to God and he has to deliver my mind from thinking about that stuff. He has to deliver my mind. I wish I had somebody in the house other than me that say, hallelujah, thank you, God, that you're able to deliver. You won't forget about me. No matter where I go, Jesus will pick me up. If I have to reach way down, he'll come and get me. I wish I had somebody. He said, for in verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant. See, that's the problem. We're ignorant when it concerns trouble. He said, ignorant of our trouble. I don't want you to be ignorant of the stuff that we go through. Because sometimes people get the impression because, you go to church, you don't go through stuff. It's not that I don't go through, but I'm comforted while I go through. It's not that I don't go through, but he fixes me up and anoints me while I go through. What do you mean? The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing takes away the burden. What is the anointing? The anointing, the word anoint, it means to smudge and to smear. It means to paint up. And what that really means is as if a woman was painting her face with makeup. You know what happens is she covers up flaws. Nowadays, they got this makeup that's powerful. It make you look like you don't really look. And I realized that if that makeup, Rihanna got some makeup that, they bind it. They say, this stuff make you look good. And now, they make you up. They make you look good. And so guess what? If that makeup can make you look good physically, God's anointing can make you look good spiritually. And so therefore, I don't wrinkle even though I've been through the heat.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday. Living Word Ministries radio Friday at 7:30 a.m. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. KAYT, praising the Lord. Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to get your Bible or your whatever holds your Bible, whether it's your phone or your iPad or whatever. And I want you to turn to Philippians 4 and 13. I want you to see it in the King James Version. And I want us to read it together. When you have it, say amen. Amen. All right, let's begin reading now. Amen. You may be seated. The message is going to be short because the text is short. But I do want you to learn some things about this. Paul, in this reference, is literally talking about his learning experience, and he's conveying his learning experience to the believers at Philippi. Why is this so important? Because Paul is the instructor, he's the teacher, he is the example before the people of God, and he's trying to let them understand experientially what he has gone through to become developed in the way that he wants to be developed. You know, there are many people who want to be used of God greatly and want to be anointed of God greatly, but how many of you know your anointing costs you something? I said, how many of you know your anointing cost you something? Amen. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Your anointing means that you've got to spend time in the Word, meditating in the Word. You have got to be Spirit-filled, anointed of God, so much so that you are listening, fellowshipping, communing with God, and God then releases an anointing upon your life to do the things that he's called you to do that only comes from his anointing. That means making sacrifices. That means spending time with God. That means being holy even as your Father, which is in heaven, is holy. It means giving up the things of the world and embracing the things of God. It means sometimes being talked about and lied on and misunderstood, because people don't know why you do what you do when you're not trying to please them, but you're trying to please him. They think things are strange and that you're unusual when you don't partake in the things that are ungodly and unrighteous, and yet we call ourselves Christians, believers, set apart, sanctified. And so many times what we don't understand is God can't use part-time lovers. You love him part-time. You love him when it's convenient to love him. You love him when you want something from him. You love him when you're asking him to do something for you or on your behalf. You love him when you find the time to make him feel all right in the moments that you have available. God's not looking for that. God's looking for someone who loves him with their whole heart. Some of the greatest people in the Bible, brothers and sisters, had to prove their love to God by the things they went through. And we have so many Christians today who don't want to go through nothing for God. They just want life to be on a flowery bed. They want things to be, they want to name it and claim it and just walk in the sunlight and enjoy the blessings and the benefit. But they don't want no burdens. They don't want no challenges. They don't want no trials. They don't want to go through anything. They just want the Lord to just bless them. Rain down on me. But here's the thing. They don't want to get soaking wet. So what they want God to do is rain down blessings on them, but they don't want God to bring them through things where God gives them blessings after the lessons. So Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Somebody say the learning experience. Paul is talking about many things, but inclusive of those things is the learning experience. Back to verse 9, if you don't mind. And look at what he says. Those things which ye have both learned, underscore learn if you can, if you got a Bible, pen, paper, and if not, just pay attention to that. And received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, one of the things that you've got to recognize is Paul is saying, listen, if your learning comes through systematic study and schooling, that's all wonderful and good, but that's not all to it. He said, received, that has much to do with revelation and experience that comes through what God brings you through. Amen. Heard, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And seeing has to do with examples that are put before you. And so there are some things that are taught, but then there are other things that are caught. I've shared that with you. And so understanding that, you've got to know that God has so many ways to unfold knowledge and bring you into understanding. And Paul is making clear that whether you are studying, whether you're receiving revelation from something you've meditated upon, whether you've heard an anointed rhema word, whether or not you've seen someone actually walk through the word of God and the word has become life and you've seen the examples for your own self, however that experience is, you must recognize that there is another component to learning. Amen. He states these four things: what you've learned, what you've received, what you've heard, and what you've seen. He said, you got to do one more thing. And what is that? Do. Your learning experience is not complete until you learn to do. It doesn't matter how much you learn, how much you know, if you never put that knowledge into practice. If you never operate as a result of what you have learned, then all of that really means nothing. So listen at this, because again, I want to hopefully help my young people to understand this in school. I want the believers to understand this in life. I want us to understand this on our jobs and in every place that God brings us in concentric circles of contact with other people. We've learned all of these things to make a difference, to do. Then move on to verse 11, because verse 10 brings up something that is having to do with the support of the people of God. But he wasn't speaking to them relative to them blessing him financially, but rather showing them how the principles of giving causes them to be able to be blessed in return. And of course, you'll learn that in the 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 verses that are connected with that 10th verse. But verse 11, he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have, here's that word again, Learned. Somebody say learned. He's talking about his learning experience, and he's trying to help us to understand the pattern that goes with it. He's still talking about right now the things he's learned, the things he's learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Do you know how your life would change if you learned how to be content in every situation you found yourself? Not complacent, but content, knowing that God has allowed you to be in this position or in this place for this period to learn something, to receive something, to gain something, to be something, to become something, to have something, to show something, to demonstrate something. That is something that must come out of this experience, so you are contented to say, God, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. You know God is working. He's changing, transforming. He's rearranging, and you want to be a part of that. And so he says, I've learned it can't always be my way. Young people, listen at this. It can't always be your way, not when God is developing you and defining you and bringing you to that place that he wants you to be and what he wants you to become. You can't always have it your way. And so the reality is, he deals with the fact that he's learned these things. Now, verse 12 goes on and moves to another word. He says, what does he say in verse 12? Just the first three words. One more time. One more time. One more time. All right. Now, he's saying very simply, he moves from learning what I've learned to what I know. Now, you've got to learn, listen at this, what you need to know and be confident in knowing what you know. Somebody didn't get this. See, when you know that you know that you know what you've learned is real, rich, refreshing, and reassuring, you have confidence in that knowledge. Can't nobody take that away from you. You've learned it. You've not just read it. You've dug deep underneath the skin, if you will, between the lines, if you will, between the words, if you will. You've gone in for a greater understanding. You know what it means, not just at the surface level, but at the root level. That's why folk think the Bible contradicts itself and why folk don't understand the word, because they've never really studied it to understand the meaning that is far deeper than what is surface. We don't spend the time. We won't come to the place where we can learn. We don't take out the time to learn. We don't invest in the books or the instruments that's needed and necessary to help us understand. And so all we have is a surface knowledge of things. Excuse me. But Paul says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Where, Paul? Everywhere. How, Paul? In all things. Listen to what he says. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, why would you need all of that in ministry? because it's necessary. It's necessary. See, in other words, that's some things Paul says here. And again, he's moved from learning to knowing. Now he knows how to operate in supernatural things. He knows how to be led by the Spirit of God. See, here's what you need to know. The Holy Ghost runs on the tracks of God's word. If there are no tracks of God's word laid down, then the train of truth can't run there. And so the Holy Ghost is the one who's able to go underneath the skin and run on the tracks of your knowledge and bring back to your remembrance the things that you have laid down. They're there. And how many moments have you been in situations where you wished you had something to say that was worth saying? Anybody going to talk to me this morning? Some tragedy, some situation, somebody's hurting, somebody's crying, somebody in need, somebody who has need of this or that, one, and you ain't got no word in you to come up. You just tell them, that's all right, everything going to be all right. Is it? By whose authority? By whose authority? See, you got to know you've got some word that's real that these people can stand on, that you have stood on, that you've got some reference to because it has worked for you and it will work for them if they believe it and receive it and understand it. So he makes clear that he knows how to be a base, to humble himself, to abound, to achieve great things. He knows how to do this, listen, everywhere and in all things. The word says he's instructed. Well, let me ask you, who's instructing him? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has instructed him. The Holy Ghost takes what he's learned and uses it to minister through Paul and through every believer. Teaches them how to maximize the moments because of the word hidden underneath the skin. So necessary, so powerful. But we'd rather shout and have a good time and ain't got nothing to stand on when we get out in the world. Nothing to hold us when we're going through our storms, our trials, our tribulations. And folk cuss us out and make us mad. We ain't got no word to hold on to. All right, I ain't going to be no more one of them. You know, get mad. I'm going to live my religion now. That ain't nothing for no believer to be saying. You've got to understand the predicament and the position and then operate according to the word of God. So listen to this. There are just some things you've got to learn for ministry. And I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He's making clear the Holy Spirit knows that there are times you need to operate as led by the Spirit and not by your emotions and not by your appetite and not by your desires. Because you don't know what he's using you to do in that moment to help somebody else. But if they see it's all about you, boo, and not about them, they turn off the hearing. They don't want to hear what you've got to say because what you've got to say is self-serving and it doesn't benefit them. So now we get to verse 13 where he says, I, that's personal pronoun, but it's also personal perspective. Paul ain't talking about you. He's talking about himself. And there ought to reach a time in your life when you ought to be able to speak for yourself. I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I know I've been redeemed. I know I'm a child of God. I know because of your own experience, your own knowledge, the revelation of that, the reality of that is personal. You know, nobody got to tell you what the Lord has done for you. You know what he's done for you. And so when you begin to take that into consideration, Paul said, let me just preach for myself right now. Then he moves on to can do. That's positive projection. Positive projection. But it's also a proffered proclamation. What does that mean? He's saying, listen, I've learned in my life to be more positive than negative. I've learned how to focus on the good rather than the bad. I've learned how to focus on being up rather than being down. I've learned to take what the devil meant for evil and know that God's going to turn it into good. I've learned that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I've learned that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ, which strengthened me, which loves me, which died for me. I know no weapon that is formed against me shall be. Y'all not talking to me in the house. He's learned all of these things. So when these things come up, he knows how to handle them. Young people, you've got to learn for yourself how to stand up for yourself and be positive and reinforce your own thoughts of positiveness. Don't care what folk don't feel about you and think about you. What do you think about yourself? How do you feel about yourself? I don't care. You know, people don't think I'm cute. Well, maybe you're not cute. But is cuteness all there is? Maybe you're beautiful underneath the skin. Maybe you've got a beautiful personality, a beautiful mind, a beautiful spirit. And can I tell you, a beautiful person can appreciate that. Be positive for yourself. I get so discouraged when I see beautiful young people acting like the people of the world with so much negativity. They dress negatively. They mock themselves up negatively. They talk and treat one another negatively. They talk to their parents negatively. They even in school, they act like learning is a negative thing. They don't see the benefit of all that God has given them because of the negative influences that they many times yield themselves to. Parents, please learn to monitor your children's phones and iPads and memberships on Facebook, etc., etc. It is disgusting to hear some of the conversations of Christian young people who belong to Christian families, and I know good and well those parents don't have no idea what's going on with that. We've tried to warn you before that businesses are now looking at your Facebook pages. They're looking at the times you post, and tweet and do all of that, because some jobs make it clear you can't text, talk, or tweet or none of that kind of stuff while you're at work. That thing tells you where you did it at, what time you did it at, and whom you did it with. You can get fired, let go, reprimanded, etc. behind foolishness. Why don't you use those things as a means to promote Christ? Something positive, something good, something that's going to bless you.